How's your Sunday night going, folks? Welcome to Got Your Back live stream edition. Rob Brown and Jason Strudwick, both on the show tonight. We can talk about the Oilers' Battle of Alberta victory, the home stretch. What's with all that bench bickering? We'll dig into that as well. Did you hear Derek Ryan's post-game comments? Sticking up a little for the fourth liners. We'll dig into that as well. We've got Strudy's World, Take a Lap, Ask Us Anything. Going to be a great show. Once again, we are coming at you from our Long Shot studio here in Sherwood Park. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in Edmonton and in Sherwood Park. TrackMan Technology. It's a great golf experience. You got great food as well. And as always, this show proudly presented by our amazing title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. We've been talking about the amazing goals Sherwood Buick GMC has been accomplishing, and the legends down there just won their all-time best over month. 400 vehicles sold in 1 month. They know what they're doing down there. Their process is streamlined. They know how to treat customers. They get you in and out. They respect your time. Go see Phil and the amazing crew. Tell them Got Your Back sent you, and you will receive 3 free detail packages on newer used vehicles as well as specialized pricing. We'll see them at 10 Automall Road. GMCpod.com is the website. Weren't able to get up and running on YouTube live tonight, so we are only on Twitter, unfortunately. We'd like to apologize for that. We're going to keep working on it, and we will get things sorted out. Jason Strudwick and Rob Brown standing by. Struds, I asked you how your weekend was going to be, and you went, "Oh, it's going to be lots of running around, busy, 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 busy." How was it, pal?
It's exactly as I explained. It was like just busy, a lot of driving. So whatever, man. You know, tons of action, but it was good. It was a lot of fun. The kids loved it.
How about you, Brownie? What happened in the Rob Brown household this weekend, bud?
We started our hockey school this week, so I was on the ice for 4 hours early Saturday morning and 4 hours this morning. And then, so I'm a little tired. The night Oilers games don't help. And then my wife and I went to the Sugar Bowl today for a little brunch, a little sangria and some brunch. It was really nice. Yeah, we had a nice time. Jeez, it was date day for my wife and I.
That's classy. Awesome, buddy. Yeah.
Well, I'm a classy person, Charles. I'm glad you noticed that.
I've always said that. What about you, Sugar? What did you do?
What did I do? Well, let's see. I played Oakmont earlier today. Well, that was great. Definitely enjoyed that. I had the PGA Tour event up on the big screen and then played Oakmont. So that was fun. Little puttering outside. Got the Solarium up and running. So the Solarium is now ready to roll. We had friends over. Played a little Settlers of Catan in there this afternoon. And then a spaghetti dinner. And then another 9 holes with my buddy in the sim tonight before the pod, bud. Well, I had the hockey games on. So pretty solid day. I'm not going to complain, man. I played Oakmont today, Struds.
How expensive is Oakmont? Is it as expensive as they say?
Yeah. Really great staff, though. Really welcoming staff there at the front there.
Yeah. Amazing.
Is this painful? Is it painful for you, Struds?
No, when it's minus 40, I can't wait for it to be minus 40 next year, next winter, and we're going to talk again.
I know. Brownie, we need to get you. Steve, how are we feeling about Brownie's framing there? Like, they got the mic coming in from the side. He's stuffed way into the corner of his frame. Like, come on, Brownie.
There we go.
Looking good.
All right, I got my wrong glasses on. I can't see nothing. I think you guys are on the screen. The TV's small. It's been a tough day.
The early mornings have you all disheveled, bud.
I'm a little disheveled.
You need an afternoon nap. Are you a good napper?
I don't nap. I only napped when I played. I don't nap now. I feel like I'm missing something if I'm napping.
Oh, yeah.
No, and I know I'm not, but I do feel that way.
The value of like a 40-minute weekend nap is a beautiful thing. Like, it's just a beautiful thing on the weekend. Struds, I imagine you probably didn't have time.
Wasn't a lot of napping going on. No, I wasn't. I was just driving. I just drove around. I think a couple times I did catch 20 winks on the highway. Oh, jeez. Down to the last 20 kilometers.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right, gentlemen. We didn't do a show after last night's game, so we'll talk a little bit about the Oilers and the Calgary Flames last night. A little bit about what we saw on the bench there between Evander Kane and Corey Perry. And lots ahead on the podcast. So let's get to our breakdown brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop, specializing in heavy-duty commercial truck and trailer, repair performance, tuning and parts sales. 7 bays they have at their facility in a vast dealer network. They got a highly reviewed customer support team, professional diesel mechanics ready to assist you with all of your needs. Visit adrenalinediesel.ca. So 2 nights ago, we saw the Colorado Avalanche kind of running out of steam on the second night of back-to-backs. And last night, it was the Oilers' similar situation. Brownie, all in all, much as it wasn't pretty, what did you think of the performance on the second night of back-to-backs?
I think the Calgary Flames, for the most part, were the better team in the game. But I think that what we see, good teams find ways to win. Teams on the outside of the playoff bubble find ways to lose. Last night, the Calgary Flames, playing a really good hockey game, take dumb penalties in the third period. Mm. The Edmonton Oilers, whose power play had not produced most of the night, they get a power play late in the game or later in the game, and they score. So they found a way to win. So the Oilers were the more talented team. I think the Calgary Flames were the better of the two teams during the game, but the better team found a way to win the hockey game.
Yeah, I think you're right, Brownie. You know, I found myself, as much as I was watching the Oilers, I was kind of watching and evaluating the movements that Connie made, you know, the GM of Conroy.
Craig Conroy, yeah. Kind of
looking yep. Some of the guys, and you know, I know this isn't really what your question was, but my eyes are really drawn to, was it Miro Manoff? Mm-hmm. The guy they got from Vegas. The guy, I you know, every now and then I'll throw on a Flames game. Like I don't watch as many of the teams that are out of the playoffs at this time of year. It just doesn't, to me, doesn't make a lot of sense. But, you know, this is the second time I've kind of seen him play. He's a good player. Like that yes. guy can really move, makes good plays. And especially when you think about, you know, what it was, they got the draft pick, they get Miro Manoff. And I remember thinking, you know, why do you trade for a 26-year-old mm-hmm. defenseman who hasn't really played in the NHL and then sign him? And he looks good. Like there's something there. Then, you know, some of the other guys that they've picked up, you know, it was in earlier trades or whatever, but I know that wasn't your question, but I did find myself yep. watching the Flames guys as much as I did kind of the Oilers, Brownie, as the game kind of went on.
I agree. I thought, and actually it was a very entertaining game.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You think about it, it's an Oiler team playing 3 and 4 nights, a Calgary team on out of the playoffs, nothing to play for. I was more engaged in that one than the Colorado Oiler game, which got out of hand. I thought it was a good game. There was a little nastiness with it. There was the bench between Corey and Kane. There was the chase of the 100 assists for Connor. There was Leon getting his 40th of the year. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a fun Saturday night Battle of Alberta hockey game that I had no expectations at all for. And at the end of the night, the Oilers got 2 points and moved a little bit higher in the standings.
It's kind of sometimes, Struds, if you only manage to throw your B-, C-plus, C game on the ice, kind of becomes a skill, becomes something that as a group you learn how to do to still peel out wins on nights where clearly you just don't have it for whatever reason, whether it's a back-to-back, whether it's one of those nights where things just don't really, you know, and I think the Oilers have become a pretty good team at peeling points out of games where they clearly haven't brought their best stuff.
Yeah, and they have. And I think that, you know, we didn't see them beat themselves as much last night as you know, maybe in past. You know, there was a penalty you probably like to have back, but for the most part, I think they're trying to manage it and trying to just keep the puck moving forward. And you know, if you go the night before with Colorado, you know, Colorado tried to hang in there and kind of play the faster game, and they ran out of juice. Like, let's just call it what it was. And for the Oilers, I think what they did is they just kind of, and not that it was the same type of travel at all, but I think they just kind of managed the game, kept trying to keep mostly make the right plays. And then, you know, eventually if you do that for 60, you get a couple of power players, Brownie said, and your skill does take over.
Brownie, that was a tee up for you. Did you miss that? Did you fall asleep?
Well, no, I wasn't sure what was going on. I thought there was something on your ceiling. I actually looked up at mine to see, wait, what's he looking at?
Oh, no, I looked up at the schedule. I took a quick look at the schedule. Sorry if I distracted
you.
No,
I agree. I agree with Struds. I thought the Oilers are good enough that they don't always need their A game. And no team in the National Hockey League has their A game every night. Dallas just lost to the Chicago Blackhawks after spanking the Oilers. So the Oilers played smart enough. And let's give credit where it's due. Calvin Pickard was excellent in mm-hmm. this hockey game. They got another mm-hmm. quality start from a backup goaltender. It just a confidence. builder for this organization, this team, knowing that if, God forsake, anything happens to Skinner come playoff time, they've got a guy that they believe that can win the hockey games. Is Calvin Pickard continues to give them good game after good game.
Yeah, and I don't want to jump in and take over, Shogger, but let's talk about that. Like it was an alternating, right? So, you know, we'd kind of talk about what's the goalie playout going to be. And they went, you know, 1-2-1-2 kind of thing. And I love this. Now they have 3 days off and it gives Skinner more time. And again, it's I'm doubling down on the rest or not getting too fatigued. But there are times here now he can tweak and keep his game sharp with the goalie coaching. And I thought actually it played out really well. You know, it's the way I would have done it. And it played out well. Not that I'm taking credit for it, but it does. I think it just a lot of good things come out of that, guys.
Yeah, I agree. The goaltending has been good, man. Like, I know, you know, the result against Dallas certainly wasn't on Pickard at all, and I thought he provided a high level of goaltending. I think you've got two goaltenders you can confidently put in against good teams, Brownie. Either guy has shown they can go in against good teams and throw out a pretty good performance.
Well, and you know from past teams here and anywhere around the National Hockey League, a backup goalie usually gets the Anaheims, the San Jose's, the Chicago's. You don't normally put them in against a good team. It just doesn't work that way. If you have two games on the weekend, the better team is the team that your starter is going to play against. But with the schedule and not wanting to wear Skinner down and the fact that Pickard is playing well, I mean, they've thrown him in twice against the Dallas Stars, who, along with the Oilers, are the two best teams in the Western Conference, I think. Yeah. So, and Pickard's played against them twice. So, yeah, it's they have full confidence in Calvin Pickard, and they should. Because Calvin Pickard has played that well when he's gotten his starts. And going into the playoffs, there were so many question marks in November, October, November, about goaltending. I do honestly believe that Calvin and Stuart Skinner have answered every one of those questions, and the Oilers feel confident going into the playoffs with them.
And the rest of the way, you can split these games. Mm-hmm. Like, I honestly think it's a split. I think it's 3-3. I don't see really any reason why not to.
So what do? You go Skinner against Vegas, and then you got the Coyotes and you got the Canucks. Which one do you give Pickard struts? That back-to-back on the weekend, Coyotes, Canucks, back-to-back.
I think if I believe I would just alternate, right? It'd be, I think as I look, yes.
Skinner, Pickard, Skinner?
Actually, maybe not.
Yeah, you're right, struts. That gives Vancouver and Vegas to Skinner, and that gives Arizona to Pickard. That's what I would do.
It's just the end, right? Because then you get Coyotes, Avalanche.
At the very end. So you could flip-flop it there if you want. Strides, I mean, sorry to step on your toes. I think depend on where the schedule is or what the standings are.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, because that last game could mean nothing for anybody. Yeah. Or it could mean everything against Colorado, right?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, let's talk about the fourth line. We're going to push the discussion about Corey Perry and Evander Kane into our takeaways segment. I want to discuss the fourth line. Not sure if you guys heard Derek Ryan's comments after the game, but in this game, the fourth line comes up with a big goal, right? I think it was the only even strength goal that the Oilers ended up putting on the board, and it was a big one. But let's get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox here, where they're offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive and keep the air in your home clean. If we got another forest fire season like we did in years past, this filtration system will make a big difference, taking the smoke out of your home, and it'll be especially helpful for those with respiratory issues. Contact them for this fantastic deal by visiting Weiss-Johnson.com today. Weiss Johnson. Steve-O! Oh, man, you're lucky that we're not on YouTube, because you would be getting carved up in the comments.
Oh, people are still commenting, and here it comes for sure. I got a couple things going on right now, so
there are people who only come to this podcast for the Weiss Johnson jingle. That's the only reason they're even here, and you managed to muck that one up, buddy. Oh,
I've never told you this, but that's the only reason I accepted your job offer was because of that Weiss Johnson
jingle. To roll a Weiss Johnson jingle. Yeah. So post-game, Mark Spector fires a question at Derek Ryan. I don't know. I kind of got the sense Ryan didn't love the question. And let's take a listen to his answer, kind of defending the role outside of putting up points of the fourth line players.
When you get to the playoffs and the big games, it can't be just the top line scoring and the top guys. It's got to be everybody. Last two games, you're getting goals from everybody. Is this a team building towards the recipe that it's going to take to win when it counts?
You know what? What comes to mind when you say that is everyone wants to talk about goal scoring. And I think that the third and fourth line have to do a good job of a lot of other things that don't go on the score sheet. I know that you guys look at the score sheet and you want to see that, but I mean, if the fourth line goes out and draws a penalty and we score on that power play, it doesn't go on the score sheet. That happened in the third, and you guys don't talk about that, but that's a big shift. Whether it's building momentum in the O-zone, those shifts are just huge in the playoffs. The momentum shifts are massive. And so, yeah, we need to score goals, but it's a lot more complicated than that.
Okay. Brownie, I'll let you take that one first, bud.
Oh, I love the comments by Derek Ryan. I've been everywhere in the National Hockey League. I've been first, second line. I've played third, fourth line. If the fourth line for the Edmonton Oilers go through the entire playoffs with zero goals, no points, but they're on for none against, they've done their job because they're an even line. That's all they need to do. And now, as Derek Ryan says, they brought momentum with physicality. They draw penalties. They're all penalty killers. So I sometimes there is a little too much focus on, well, we need depth scoring. Well, if the depth players aren't getting scored on, they're doing their job. If all of a sudden the fourth line gets stuck out against Eichel's line or Kopitar's line, and they keep them off the score sheet, they've done their job. I really like Derek Ryan's answer. He's a guy that's proud of what he does as a fourth line player. And it's funny, on our show with Reed Wilkins on Ched, we had a caller call in two or three games ago when Derek Ryan sat out. He actually went through the whole season and marked games that Derek Ryan played and that he didn't play. And the Oilers' record is much better with Derek Ryan in the lineup then out of the lineup. And he had all the stats. I'm like, well, I never thought of it that way. Hadn't thought to think about it. But I think the fourth line last game was excellent against the Calgary Flames and did chip in a big goal.
I love how he advocates for the fourth line. Mm-hmm. Like, and I agree. I think we all do get lost a little bit. Oh, everyone needs to score. And I get that. But what I want to see, and we've kind of talked about this before, is that can that fourth line tilt the ice? Can they create momentum? Can they create energy? And, you know, people are, oh, we don't like to talk about energy lines. Well, that's what Derek Ryan's talking about, going out there and doing something positive. And you set the table for the next line. And I think it's amazing when a third or fourth line can go out there and have a long extended shift, especially in the second period in the O zone, and then he can change out some other guys. So now you trap them in their O zone, and now you put your big guns out there against that. And whether they score or not, a lot of times it ends up taking a penalty or just creates energy. So I love that Derek Ryan advocates for that group. I think he's right. He's very right, but you can't be an energy or you can't bring juice if you play 5 minutes a night. And that's the problem. That's the reality. As a line, I can't ask you to do a lot. Now, you can kill a few minutes in penalties, but if you play 8 minutes and only five and a half of it is on five on five, I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Us three could probably play a line and get sometimes the same as regular. You got to get the minutes. You got to find a way to get the minutes.
Yeah. I like his comments too, right? He's advocating for his, for the role that they play and the important things that they do. I mean, he's been drawing quite a few penalties lately, and that stuff matters. I'm going to disagree with you guys a little bit, though. You need a fourth line that can chip in if you're going to win a Stanley Cup. You need offense from them. Not a ton, but you need them to come up with the odd timely goal. Stanley Cup championship teams get that from their fourth line. They don't get zeros across the board from their fourth line.
Okay, Ronnie? So if they have four goals, four during the playoffs and five against, that's better than being 0-0?
Well, of course not. No.
Well, so to me,
it's better.
I'm saying if they give up no goals, if the third and fourth line give up no goals in the playoffs, they've done their job. 100% have done their job.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess so. If both lines give up nothing, I don't know, guys. Like, it takes depth and it takes good players, and the top guys aren't going to be able to score every single night. You're basically saying that the top six is the only line that has come out on the plus side of it. Everybody else can just be even and high five each other. And if the top six isn't plus, you're not winning the games.
Well, you're not going to win the game if your top six is minus players anyways.
Right, but what about the top six guys being even one night? And oh, your third line got one for you.
Well, then your power play scores a goal for you. The Oilers are supposed to have the best power play in the league. So now you got a power play goal. So now everyone's even. You get a power play goal or two, and you win a hockey game.
Yeah, I think you need to have a fourth line that can chip in the odd goal. I hear what you're saying, Brownie. Like, if I think the expectation needs to be higher than to just be even. Struds?
Yeah, so I would agree with that. But I think, I'll just say, if you're not creating what Derek's talking about, which is energy and momentum. Mm-hmm. You're not going to score anyway. So just a quick look at Vegas last year. Keegan Kolasar, 2 goals in 22 games. I think as my memory serves, they were fourth liners. William Carrier, 18 games, 2 goals. I think I want to say, was it Nicholas Roy? Was he also on the fourth line? 3 goals. So just a quick look here. Those three guys together, I think they were the fourth line or parts of it. They scored like 7 goals in 22 games.
That's
like
major. That's major. And Derek Ryan's got one in his last 28. It's not crazy, but that's contribution.
Yeah, but so I'll just say it again. Keelan Kolasar, 22 goals or 22 games, 2 goals. Yeah. So is Derek Ryan that far off it, even though he only has 1 goal in the last 28?
No, I'm just saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like they're kind of on that.
But pace.
He's on that. Yeah, he's not. It's not like he's like those guys. And again, I might be wrong, but I off the top of my head, I believe that was the fourth line last year for Vegas.
I think it was too. Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not talking about 10 goals here, right?
No, I'm not talking about 10 goals either. Yeah. I'm talking about once a series, your fourth line chips in. You know, if once a series, your fourth line chips in, you know, you got 4 or 5 goals by the time you get to the Stanley Cup. And those can be huge goals that mean the difference.
Not 100%. But they also, they got to be even or plus players. They can't have a goal and be a minus player.
Right. You got a plus minus on those guys, Streds?
It's not coming up here on the stats I have.
Okay, but no problem.
Let me take a look and take it. They won the Stanley Cup.
It's a good conversation. And I understand what Ryan is saying. And I think maybe he took a little bit of umbrage to Speck's question with the idea that you're going to have to score if this team is going to win. And they have done lots of little things, you know, the work on the face-offs in the defensive zone, work on the penalty kill, all those things matter. All those things are important, and they don't want to be judged strictly by the offensive stats because they don't get a lot of opportunity. And I think that's completely fair. But you go wire to wire in the playoffs without any contributions from your fourth line, and I don't think you're getting where you want to go. Anything, Struds, or we can move on?
I don't think the Vegas had any minus players in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Just a quick perusal. They're mostly even.
We'll move on. Let's get to our relentless player of the weekend, I guess we will say, brought to you by You Can Use Services. If you are looking to hire entry-level staff for your company, You Can Use Services trains youth in pre-employment skills to help get them ready, willing, and able to join your team. It's just a great program. Check out www.youcan.ca for more information. Struds, who are we going to give the nod to, bud?
I don't know if this player's got it before, but I think he really deserves it, which is just night in, night out, when he gets the opportunity, he does what he can. And he's really had some good games for the Oilers. I'm going to go with the big pick, Calvin Pickard, as a
Rangers
player. Just not just for last night, but I think just stretching back to, you know, early in his time up here at the Oilers, I think it's been crazy what he's accomplished. And nobody thought that was possible.
Well, if you go through, if the Oilers do win a Stanley Cup this year and they go back and talk about the stories, because there's always stories that happen during a Stanley Cup championship season, I think one of the big stories will be Calvin Pickard. The pressure he came up when he came up, both goaltenders were struggling. You got a guy making $5 million to the minors. No one really gave Calvin Pickard a chance. I remember on this podcast we're saying, there's no way the Oilers are going to win a Stanley Cup if Skinner and Pickard are your two goaltenders. Mm-hmm. And Pickard's proved everybody wrong. So I think he is one of the big stories of the Oilers this year.
Would have been an awesome nominee for the Masterton as well. Vinny Dernier is a great nominee for the Masterton. Yeah. The Oilers with a couple of excellent stories happening on their roster. And guys like that, just give the team a little bit of mojo, Struds. Guys like that, just they're appreciative to be there every single day. They're appreciating being in that locker room. I think that's good. That's good. Good vibes on a team to have guys like that, Struds.
Well, everyone feels good about like that story, right? Because those guys, no one, Vinny, no one thought he was going to make the NHL. And Calvin, we thought his time had set, right? He was over. So guys in the dressing room, they love that. I think it's great. It's a great story. You cheer for those guys. You want them to do well. And even the best part, guys, you know, they're not just doing well. They're contributing. Mm-hmm. I think that is something we can't forget. Like these aren't just call-ups or your 14th forward. Like they're actually contributing, having an impact on the game night in, night out at a very cheap cap hit, which I don't think we should overlook. Probably both will get, well, one's getting a raise for sure. The other one might just get an extension or something. And I'm not sure that's going to fit with Rodrigue getting the extension. Then he got the soup can, kicking five sheets a year for three more years.
It'll be interesting to see. All right, that was The Breakdown, brought to you by Adrenaline Diesel and our You Can Use Services Relentless Player of the Weekend, deservedly given to Calvin Pickard. Okay, we're going to go to commercial break. When we do, guys, I don't want you guys bickering, okay? Commercial breaks are not for bickering. It's for team building. I don't want any arguing. I don't want any dissension among the ranks. We got to keep it on the rails. Everybody be kind to one another. What's with all that bench bickering? We'll dive into that in takeaways next.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Rodeo clowning felt like an exciting opportunity. Boy, was I ever wrong. The bulls. So predictable. But you know what's exciting and unpredictable? PlayAlberta.ca. I can bet on any sports game, play online casino games anytime, and buy lottery tickets anywhere.
PlayAlberta.ca. Go all in on excitement. Sign up today and get over $100 in welcome bonuses. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense.
Time now for takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Whether it's on land, on snow, on water, on the road, they hope you begin your adventure with them, Martin Motorsports. It's your one-stop shop for all the toys for your next outdoor adventure. Quads, side-by-sides, boats, Sea-Doos, motorcycles. Well, they got it all. Their showroom is something else. It's packed full of machines, boats, and accessories. Head on over to Martin Motorsports. So you are ready for your next adventure. The cameras don't lie. I haven't seen any lip readers come out with a transcription yet of exactly what was said. I'm not sure if it matters. The gesticulation, the slamming of the gates, the clear frustration, the arguing. If it's a one-off, we're probably not really discussing this too much, but it's not a one-off. We've seen a few animated discussions, we will say, a couple of them involving Evander Kane on the bench. So, Struds, what did you make of what you witnessed there between Kane and Perry?
Well, older veterans, right? Kind of going at it. And Perry, you know, Perry has quite a track record of winning, and I think he really has a feeling or a sense of what the team has to do to have success. And it's obvious that Perry wasn't feeling that Kane was doing that, right? It's pretty rare that you don't see that much kind of going back and forth like that on the bench. At least you'd see it the odd time, but not that often. So I really like that Perry kind of, like, that's why he's here. That's why Corey Perry's here, whether it was with Kane or whomever, he's expressing how the game should be played in his mind to have success, Brownie.
I agree. And I've been in conversations on the bench. And I'm sure you have too, Struds. No conversation goes from 1 to 100. And Corey Perry went from starting a conversation to 100 in the video we saw very quickly. My guess, and this is, I know nothing. I have no inside information, but my guess is he said something, whether it was loudly or in a calm voice, and he didn't like the answer or the body language or the expression back. And that's what set him off. For everything I've said, I've heard about Corey Perry, and we all saw Kevin Bieksa between periods talk about Corey Perry. This is not his MO. This isn't what he's like. So for him to come off, and if there's something that he didn't like on the ice, for him to go bananas about something he didn't like doesn't sound right. To me, it sounds like, hey, Shoggy, I really didn't think that what you did there earlier was right. Let's see how we can fix it. And then you say something back to me that I don't like. Now we have the conversation getting loud and becoming very animated. So that's what I feel. I feel that something was said that he didn't like after something was expressed at the end of the shift.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's no way for us to know kind of.
Nope.
who had the calmer head in the moment, who flew off the handle on, like, I mean, there's no way for us to know. And it's, you know, what I will say is that I don't think it was just about the turnover. Like, it was a turnover, but that turnover gets made. It's not ideal. It's not very good. And Evander Kane would probably know that, but there's no way that you go that snap show on the bench from a guy turning a puck over like that. I think it probably had something to do with the horrendous penalty that he took, the fact that they buried one immediately, and the fact that, to my eye, that line got skipped over at least once after that power play goal against was scored. So you've got Kane taking a really undisciplined penalty, the line getting bumped out of the rotation, and then finally getting a look on the power play, and then that mistake being made. And yeah, some frustration. So I think maybe, and again, we're guessing. We need to be fair to everybody here. We don't know. But that turnover, if all it was that turnover, then Corey Perry overreacted. He was being too hard on him, because that play happens all the time, Brownie.
Oh, I agree. So that's why I don't think it was that. I think it could be accumulation of stuff, or something was said and he did not like the response that he got. And I agree 100% with Strides. They brought Corey Perry here because of his championship pedigree. He's won. He knows what it takes to win, and he wants it to be played the proper way. So Corey Perry, probably a little more colorful than we expected. But if this sets he and his line mates in the right direction, I'm all for it. So I got no problem with what Corey Perry did. And hopefully it didn't go on deaf ears.
Yeah. And by the way, Corey Perry took a bad penalty too. So it wasn't just Evander Kane, but.
And so did Leon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So did Leon. Yeah.
And that's fair. And I just like on Kane's penalty or penalties he's taken, I want him to take some penalties. Like if it's an aggressive penalty where you're running someone or setting the tone on another team's top player, top D, I'm happy to kill that off. But that penalty last night, it was like a very weak slash. And even the guy reacted like his arm had been chopped off. Like that's not the reaction at all. But I that one, you're not getting, there's no value to that one. You know, it doesn't make sense. So a more aggressive, hard forechecking, you know, a little bit maybe from behind, I'll take that one. But not
and
that.
Time of the game too, Struts.
Yeah, fair.
It's when you take the penalty. You just don't take a penalty at that moment. So, I mean, yeah, this is something I know that Ryan, we talked earlier, and you weren't upset with when Leon slashed someone earlier about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
it was against LA.
Yeah,
I was willing to give him that one.
And I said the problem that I had with it is it's not a one-off. He did it in the playoffs last year, and then we saw it against the Flames last night. He's got to get that out of his. He's too valuable a player. And last night, again, it's against the Flames. Who cares? It's a nothing game. But if that's the LA Kings or the Vegas Golden Knights and you just took yourself off a power play because you didn't like what he did to you, you're a better player than that. You don't need to do that. And he's done it too much over the last couple of years, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think that's completely fair. He can't be doing that this year and during the regular season here, maybe get them all out of your system, get it sorted out. But I do like the fact, and I paid close attention to it, I like the fact that Knobloch didn't play those guys. He skipped over them for an entire rotation, which we haven't seen him do that very often. Now I was thinking, oh boy, which way are they going to go here? And he went back to them on the power play. So he ended up getting them back out there on the power play. But I think that was fine. Perry had taken a bad penalty. Kane had taken a bad penalty. I think I was okay with the fact that he sort of set that standard there. Struds, what's the worst bench fight you ever witnessed during a game?
You know what? I didn't see too many, honestly. Like the D-men generally didn't get very upset. I know one time in Switzerland, I was playing, and the captain, he was quite an arrogant guy and thought he was a great player. And he was pretty good, but he wasn't as good as he thought. And I was skating. I made a play that wasn't great coming off the ice, and he made a comment as I was skating by the bench. So I got up and walked towards him and gave it to him. I said, if you have something to say, I want you to say it to my face. And he didn't say anything the rest of the year. That was it. So that was done. And I admit it was a bad pass.
Brownie, how about you?
Well, the worst I saw, I was in the minors. We're playing for the Phoenix Roadrunners. And we had a guy on our team, high draft pick, Keith Redman. Big, big, tough guy. First or second rounder for the LA Kings. And the coach, I can't think of the guy's name right now, but the coach didn't play him the whole game. And with 30 seconds to go in the game, we got a bench penalty. And he sent Keith Redmond over to serve it. And Redmond was not happy. He sat there the entire night, comes off the ice. And as we're coming off the ice out of the penalty box at the end of the game, he says something to the coach. And the coach said something back. And they started a fist fight right where the Zamboni is. All the fans are watching, our head coach and Keith Redmond throwing them toe to toe.
Come on.
And Jim Vesey, who plays for the New York Rangers, his father was on our team. It was Big Jim, Big Jimmy Vesey. He broke the fight up and blew out his shoulder, never played another hockey game after that, breaking up that fight. Yeah. Oh, so man. Keith Redmond and our coach, I can't think of his name right now, but they had a full-on toe-to-toe fist fight, and everyone's around, and all the fans were hanging over the Zamboni entrance watching it because Redmond got sent over to serve a penalty at the end of a hockey game.
Who won the fight?
Oh, Redmond. Redmond was about 6'3", on skates about 6'5½", and our coach was about 5'7". Although he was tough, but it was a pretty good fight. Yep.
Hung in there. He showed up. That's all that matters.
You guys see Colin Chalk and Zach Stortini staring each other down the other night? Did you see that, bro? I guess you don't have Twitter, so you didn't see it, Brownie. But hey, Strutty, how was that?
I love that. And Storts is like, you want me? It was so good. The caveman, that's not the guy I want to fight. Chuck looks like he's in pretty good shape.
Oh, yeah.
But that is that Zach Sortini is not the guy that I want to pick a fight with on the bench. It was beautiful. I love when coaches get into it. It's just so good.
Who was it the other night? It was Green and
Laviolette.
And Laviolette. Yeah, yeah. That'd be a good one to see that too. All right. That was Takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. When we come back, Strutty's World. Brownie, stick around. Your favorite segment, buds. Lots more to come on the show.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavor rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right, and I'm here, someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, look good.
Oh, the commercial break chirps. The commercial break chirps. One of these times, we'll have to record them and play them back.
Yeah.
Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. They got locations in Calgary and in Edmonton. So, guys, we got a surprising number of watchers and listeners from Calgary. Love it. Welcome to all of our Calgary Got Your Back podcast consumers. If you're a contracting business or a contractor, let DLR help you add vinyl fence to your product line. Everybody wants it because they know once it goes in, it stays in. No sanding, no staining. No painting, no nothing. So if you're an installer, better get on it because people are wanting it. DLR has been going strong since 2005. Visit DLRvinylproducts.ca. Mr. Strudwick, sir, have at it.
I've always had a problem with the way that they keep track of, you know, shots aren't maybe the one, but like hits or giveaways, takeaways. You know, it's felt like, especially a few years ago, there was a little bit different from rink to rink. But last night I was kind of pouring through the game sheets and I came across Brady Tkachuk of the Ottawa Senators, 16 hits in one game. Now, this guy played 20 minutes. So that was mean he's almost every minute he's out there running someone. So actually someone put a collage together, the hits. And for the most part, they look legit to me, I got to admit. But 16 is nuts. And this guy right now is a raging bull. I don't know if you saw the game. You know, one of the Devils kind of cheekily put an empty netter in there and he chased the guy down. And like, he doesn't remember that Ridley Greig, what he did, the slap shot. Like, he's just like, he's out there and he's just, it's like he's out of control. And I'm here for it. I like it. I like what he's doing. But anyways, to get back to the point, 16 hits is pretty great. I think the next highest guy had four. I may be wrong, but that's what I remember. So anyways, guys, congrats to him. 16 hits. I think that's absolutely incredible. I don't know if that record ever be broken unless Cal Clutterbuck goes back to Minnesota where he got a hit if he was looking at someone else who was hitting somebody. That's how many hits that guy got. There were phantom hits. The end.
Brady Tkachuk is such a gamer. And he's a gamer in a different way. You know, he's a gamer in a different way than even his brother, Struds. Like, yeah. He brings it in so many different ways, and you get the feeling like he just, with every fiber of his being, he hates losing and hates what happened in Ottawa this year. They are in such amazing shape, Brownie, having Brady Tkachuk at the helm of the emotional temperature of this team.
It's funny. No one in Edmonton is a Tkachuk fan, having Matthew down the road for all those years in Calgary. But seeing Brady during the playoff stretch in the stands, chugging beer, hanging out with the fans, I'm like, okay, that's the pro. That's what you should be as a pro. I mean, hanging with the people and just being yourself. So I like this guy. So I followed him a little more closely. And Struds, when you start talking about the hits, you're like 16 hits. I watched the videos too. I mean, he had legit, like, he was running guys through the boards. And then at the end of the game, and I was giggling too, it's like, hey, wasn't it your team that caused the whole brouhaha and all that? And there was nothing wrong with the slap shot. And again, I had nothing wrong with the slap shot on the empty net. I'm not sure you, 3 seconds afterwards, you go put the puck into the empty net. I mean, Ottawa's already frustrated. The season's gone wrong.
Yeah, you're asking for it.
They have one player on the ice more than you do to start with because they pulled their goalie. Mm-hmm. And he's not. I mean, he's me. He's a skilled player. He's not a fighter. The last thing you want to do is have Tkachuk or someone else coming after you. So I love Tkachuk. I think he is a great, great team leader, and he is fun to watch. I do hope Ottawa turns it around. I really do. They've got a lot of young talent, and I hope that with his guidance as a leader, that they can start going in the right direction soon.
I would love seeing Brady play like 20 years ago. He would have been animal. Absolute animal 20 years ago.
I can't wait to see him play in some meaningful playoff hockey. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be tons of fun. Yeah, he's a heck of a player. That was good Struddy's world tonight. I agree with you. What a performance from him. That was interesting. By the way, Struds, did you see Pezzetta fight Ryan Reeves the other night?
No, I didn't.
Did you see it, Brownie?
Yep.
So did you see? So basically what happened is Pezzetta hits. Do you remember who he hit?
No, but it was in the corner. Yeah.
Maybe. Was it a little bit late, Brownie? Was it a little late?
Wasn't horrible.
Kind of questionable. Max Domi, Struds went over and kind of shoved him around a little bit. And so a couple shifts later, Pezzetta's lined up against Reeves. And Reeves, of course, is just like staring at him. Yeah. And you can see on the replay, he's like, why do I have to? Is what Pezzetta, why do I have to? Right. You can see him say that. And Reeves said something to him. And then, Pezzetta just tried to get the jump on him. But Reeves kind of let go of his stick and backed away. So now they're like 50-style boxing squaring off. And it didn't go very well for Pezzetta. But I don't know, Brownie. I was thinking, do not fight that guy. There is no need for you to be fighting that guy. The hit was not that bad. Don't let honor get in the way of this thing. You don't need to fight him.
Well, again, if it's a clean hit, Ekholm said it the other day, the best. If it's a clean hit, you don't have to fight. If you do something stupid, then you have to stand up. But if it's a clean hit, and the problem in that fight too, Reeves got that Pezzetta up against the boards. Oh, he kept pushing him, and Pezzetta couldn't get off. He was like stuck, and he's like, oh my. The best part of the whole thing is Austin Matthews on the bench screaming afterwards. Like he was like, Wah! Like just screaming. It was hilarious. They just kept going to him on the bench. Ryan Reeves, who was a healthy scratch a lot this year, has made himself into, you got to have him in the lineup. He's bringing, talk about fourth line players, bringing energy. Every time he is on the ice, the opposition team knows that. Whether you like Reeves or not, he has become an effective player in Toronto.
Struds, well, how do you feel about Ryan Reeves being on the ice if you're the opponent, Struds?
I liked, when I played, I liked having guys like that out there because I had a chance to make plays. The only thing is every now and then you have to fight him. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see when the playoffs start if he still gets in there.
I don't think so.
But, you know, the East seems to have a little bit more maliciousness, like a more, some bigger, meaner players than out West. Like, look at, like, you know, Edmonton has a couple, Calgary, yeah, I don't know, Vancouver, like, you know, I guess Soucy and those guys are pretty big, but you're not like, oh my God, it's, you know, so Winnipeg, you know, there's not a lot of those, you know, Anaheim, like there's not a lot of tough guys out here to really fight on that level, but out East there is more. So maybe there is a place for them more there.
Well, what if Toronto plays Florida in the first round? Florida are bullies. They play a mean style of game. I want Ryan Reeves in my line if I'm playing the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the problem is too far down the lineup. You don't want him out there against Tkachuk.
No. But you want him out there in a game if it gets out of hand.
He doesn't get anything done.
To send a message.
Yeah.
Huh?
He doesn't get anything done. Like when you're actually playing the hockey.
I've watched some Leaf games lately when he's on his fourth line. He created a goal 2 games ago from behind the net. Big hit, threw it out in front for a goal. Ryan Reeves, the games I've watched, he's been effective as a fourth line player.
Interesting. Interesting to see if he gets some ice time come playoff time. All right, that was Strutty's World. Brownie, thanks, buddy. We'll chat. We're going to do a post-game podcast after the Vegas game, and we'll chat real soon, pal. Thanks. Yeah. Go get some sleep, man.
Yep. See you tomorrow, Brownie. See you at lunch.
Hey, bring your A game tomorrow, Struds.
You got it, but I will.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Brownie. When we come back, Struds and I go and take a lap.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximo Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention is at RedefinedHealth.com.
Time now to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet, and they've gotten even better thanks to their Backscape 2.0. The new friction fit handle lets you effortlessly snap the shaver in and out and touch up the rest of your body as well. Why not? The new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. We got a deal for you. Promo code GYB10. Gets you 10% off advanced and deluxe kits. That's promo code GYB10 on their website, backscape.com. That's BAKscape.com. Backscape, stay smooth, gentlemen. Struddy?
That's time of year we start watching what happens with all the teams and kind of jockeying for a position. And the New York Rangers have put themselves in a pretty good spot. A win today, they have 4 games left. They have 110 points. The Bruins have 107. And then out West, we've got Dallas Stars with 105 points, and they have 5 games left. So at this point, it feels like the Bruins-Rangers kind of jockeying for that top spot, shocker.
Yeah.
Rangers, interestingly enough, play the Islanders twice. So I'm sure the Islanders will try to push them back.
Oh, yeah.
But it's you know, it feels like it'll be an Eastern Conference team that is President's Trophy winners, whether that matters or not. Debatable, but I think it's important for to have that home ice.
Yeah, too far for Dallas to go, I think, to get there. Rangers have won 8 of their last 10, playing some real nice hockey heading towards the playoffs. The Bruins have rattled off 4 straight wins. On the other side of the ledgers, we're talking about these playoff chases, man. It's really come unraveled with the Philadelphia Flyers, the sheer number of games they've been losing. Sidney Crosby and company are putting on an incredible push to try and get themselves there. They're
6-2-2 in their last 10, but they've rattled off four straight wins here. So it's really something out east, especially.
Yeah, it's a good thing. And I think I'd love to see Sidney Crosby get in there. You know, especially after they made the trade, the Gensel trade. It's, but let's be honest. Like, if let's say they make it and they play the Rangers in the first round.
Yeah.
Probably going to be a pretty short visit. Now, I suppose anything's possible, shocker, but, you know, the way that that Rangers team is playing, I don't think it'll be a very long visit. What is it? What did Sutter call it? Like, you know, seven days in April or something, or whatever
he said. Yeah, it'll be a quick 8 days or something.
Yeah,
or what, I can't remember exactly what his quote was. Yeah. Talking about the Avs, right? Whoever had to play the Avalanche.
Yeah, and he was right, obviously. I don't know. I don't know if the Rangers are as dominating as the Avs were 2 years ago. I wouldn't put them in that category. But no. I just look at Penguins. Like I love Sidney Crosby. I've always loved the way he plays. But there's just not enough there. I don't think. Not depth.
Biggest differential in the league is the Dallas Stars, though. Plus 60, the Dallas Stars are off the charts. Their goal for and against differential.
Yeah. And then go to Saturday night and Friday night. And we talked a bit about it, but Mikko Rantanen, that hard hit from Ekholm, and he didn't come back from the game. And he's a big issue, a big part of their team. And he was put in concussion protocol officially. He's not playing tonight against the Stars. But I don't know how long he's going to be out. You know, those things are hard to predict. But any time without Mikko Rantanen is a big problem, because that top line of Mikko, Drouin, and McKinnon is unbelievable. But you take Mikko off there and replace him with insert player here. Is it Lekkonen or Nikushkin, whoever? It's a big change, a big drop. And the rest of their lines don't fit together as well after that.
Is notable that he did skate by himself on Sunday. So he actually went out onto the ice, according to Bednar, skated on his own on Sunday, and he's listed as day-to-day right now. Is in concussion protocol. They're also missing Miles Wood, who's got a lower body injury. But of course, they added some depth at the trade deadline and sort of to try and insulate themselves against the potential for injury. But they're still playing for something, Struds. Like, they're not completely out of it here, trying to catch Dallas and trying to grind away. So yeah, that is a tough potential loss for them. And Matthias Ekholm playing some big boy playoff hockey.
Oh, you need to see some of those hits in the playoffs, right? You need to, not that I'm advocating hurting people, but you have to make other people have bad days. And that made Mikko have a very bad day.
Yeah. Scotty Knows says, waste of 8 days was the quote he believes.
Ah, there you go.
Setter. Be nice. A waste of 8 days. All right, that was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. When we come back, Steve's been compiling all of your comments on the YouTube, on Twitter stream, I guess. So we'll get to Ask Us Anything after a very short break and a message from Belvedere.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
Time for you to ask us anything that you want. Brought to you by the Shark of the Park, Rini Buchlan of Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Whether you're buying or selling a home, your success hinges upon the expert advice and service provided by your real estate agent. Rini's committed to providing clients with professional services based on experience, knowledge, skills. Call her for a no-obligation quote, 780-994-0280. Steve, why don't you hop in, bud? How's everybody making out? We're disappointed that we weren't on YouTube tonight. And again, we apologize. We'll get those issues sorted out. But we have a healthy following over on Twitter. Yep. Unfortunately, on Twitter, you can't put the comments in. So some folks hung in on YouTube and watched on both and contributed some good comments, Steve.
Yep, that's right. We got a very healthy audience on Twitter, and a lot of people still chatting on the YouTube chat. So lots of questions have come in still. And appreciate those from everyone. Let's start with D. White. Says, with 6 games in 9 days just before the playoffs, is it time to bring in your depth players? thinking Gagne, Stetcher, Carrick, Broberg, etc. You know, when do you bring those guys in and out of the lineup, or do you at all? Struts.
Back-to-backs, hey, Struts?
Yeah, the back-to-back. And I don't know the cap implications, so I'm going to pretend that they can make it work cap-wise. Mm-hmm. I think there are, I'll say, three players that have to get in. Broberg, Stetcher, and Holloway. I think those three guys have to see some ice time in the prior, because Sam Gagne has been in the playoffs before, so he knows what it's like. But I think those are the guys that I'd be looking at, Shaggy.
Who do you think's most likely to see playoff action of the guys that you just mentioned? Like, who do you think actually gets into a playoff game?
I think that should be first man up.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it depends which side it is, but I'll say Stetcher, assuming, you know, yeah. And then probably Broberg and then Holloway. That'd be my order. What about you?
Yeah, I think so. Like, those guys have been down in the minors for a while, man. Broberg and Holloway, yeah. To suddenly bring them up and drop them into NHL playoff, like,
right.
It'd be great if they could get them a couple of games. You've been advocating for that before the end of the season. But once again, we're heading into an NHL playoff year, and they don't know what they have yet in Broberg or Holloway at this level. They still don't know what they have, what they can expect from them, what they might be capable of. The body of work just isn't there. Though I am glad that they are getting tons of minutes and playing, at least in the American Hockey League, Steve.
A bit of a follow-up from Obelisk. He says, with Bako looking at securing home ice in the playoffs, does that influence the guys that come up? So do you leave guys down there or do you bring them up? Is the, you know, the NHL, I mean, obviously that's the end goal. So does that influence things at all, Bako's success?
I think it does. Yeah. I do. I think that in a perfect world, you want both your team, your A and B team, to both have success. So, yeah, you're not going to mess up with it too much. So maybe that's a good point. Maybe we might not see those guys, although for one game midweek, I think it's going to be all right, right? So, but I do think that, like, that the best thing can happen is have, you know, that AHL team do well and have those young guys in those games. And if you need them, you pull them up because they're still playing.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is that if they start against the Kings, like, the proximity is pretty good, right? So if you run into injury trouble and you're out in California already, it becomes pretty easy to pull somebody over if you need to, so.
I can't believe they might be playing the Kings. It seems incredible.
Yeah.
And then it's just nuts.
Shane Matheson says, stat of the day, the last two games when Janmark is on the ice, zero shots against from opposing teams. Some love for Janmark. Thoughts, Shogger?
Yeah. I mean, it goes to what we talked about, right? What Brownie and I were getting into it about. If you're even or better and you're not giving anything up, you've done your job. And I think fundamentally, I understand that concept. And, you know, based on that statistic, Janmark has done his job as a fourth line player. He's a penalty killer too. You know, he brings some value and he's good. And he doesn't shy away from heavy hockey either, Struds. So I think there's decent value there. I still believe, though, that if you're hoisting a Stanley Cup, you've gotten contributions offensively from all four of your lines at some point.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. Honestly, I mean, you look at the last little while. We've seen Carrick score a goal. We've seen Corey Perry. Well, yeah, we have seen Corey Perry. We've seen Connor Brown score a goal. You know, Derek's been a while, but he's really kind of on the power play or on the penalty kill. Like, there's been guys scoring, so I'm not too worried about that. But I do think they're going to find time to goals from that group.
Yeah, a couple more, Steve, and then Strutty's going to get to our Play Alberta play of the day.
Okay, well, some people chiming in on the Perry Kane bench situation. So yeah. Zoe R says, you know, Perry is Kane's line mate. He's holding him accountable. I've seen people question why he doesn't chew out Drysdale or Bouchard, but that's not his job. Chewing out guys on his own line, you know, is his job. Do you think, you know, thoughts on that? Is there more that happens between your own line mates in terms of accountability, Struts?
Oh, I think because it's immediate reaction. Like, I just know as I got frustrated as a, but not that I could really, I wasn't chirping the top guys, but I got frustrated when they just throw the puck away. I just hold the puck. You know, I want you to hold it, keep it down low, keep moving. If you can pass it up to me, great. I'll pass to my D-man. But, you know, the play, if that is indeed the play that frustrated Perry, was when he got it, Kane got it behind and just kind of threw it to the middle. Like, there's no, it's, we call it a hope pass. That's what they say. That is a hope pass. You're hoping it finds somewhere to go, and it doesn't usually happen. So I never like that, because we work so hard to get the puck back. Just keep it down low, keep it down there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think no. First of all, nobody's getting into it with Leon like that. No one's going to go digging into him. I don't think it works that way. Those guys, you know, they do so much. So whether you're on their line or not, I think, you know, calm discussion is probably, if you have something you'd like to say to Mr. Drysdale, you probably say it calmly. Hey, Struds, if you're anybody other than McDavid or maybe a couple of other guys.
Yeah, so let's talk about who could do it. I think it'd be Nurse, McDavid, Nuge, Hyman. Actually, probably Hyman's be the first one. Again, it's you can't go in there and hammer on your top player. But what you can do is you can have a conversation. Say, hey, man, can we just have a talk? And then pull him off to the side. Because you don't want to embarrass your top guy. Not that you shouldn't embarrass Evander Kane, but it's just... it's your top guy, right? He's the one who feeds you a lot of stuff, so you can't unload on him. But doesn't mean you can't still challenge him in whatever manner you think is needed.
Okay, Marku asks, what's the appropriate balance between resting players for the playoffs and, you know, trying to get 2 points for every game, you know, securing home ice advantage or whatever it is that we might be trying to do for the playoffs here. So how do you work that balance? Because it's been a tough schedule. It's a tough schedule coming up and, you know, guys are going to be tired. Guys are banged up. So how, you know, when do you rest guys? How do you make that call? Struts.
Well, you have to know. So who is indeed banged up? Who has is someone got a lingering hamstring issue or groin problem or their back problem or whatever it is, then I pull them out. Like I'm like, hey, this guy's taking a couple days off because you want to try to hit the playoffs as healthy as possible. And the Oilers season kind of is runs pretty deep this year. Then they'll start it up. Like they're not going to have a big chunk of time. Like I noticed some teams finish on Monday and the Oilers aren't that lucky. So I do think that they need to identify who that problem or who has a problem and then give them a break if required. And as far as the tired, you know, they're trying to wind it down. I'm really focused on the goaltender because I think that's a really important one. I don't feel like the Oilers have overused or overplayed any players this year. I think it's been a more collective. We might see these next handful of games really try to run four lines just to get the bottom guys kind of more ice time, but also just give those top guys a little bit less juice prior to playoffs.
I don't know if they'll just flat out rest anybody for rest purposes, but I agree with you, Struds. Anybody's got anything lingering, anything nagging? Like Zach Hyman probably is hobbling around pretty good today after that Evan Bouchard clapper deflected off someone's leg in India. Little things like that. We might see the odd scratch where we are like, oh, and it's probably them taking care of those little bumps and bruises. Steve, I was going to get to one there that sure. Said a little bit off topic. But what's the latest on the Oilers GM situation? That coming from Zoe R. It's a great question. I think there's probably some work being done on it behind the scenes. I think they're going to try and stay pretty quiet about it through the playoffs and not want to distract. But there has to be some work being done behind the scenes, Struds. It's an incredibly important position that needs to be filled. My sense is it's not going to be Ken Holland continuing. And so who's it going to be? This person will help shepherd in the new contract for Leon Draisaitl if there's one to be had, you know, negotiations with McDavid's camp. Although, yes, of course, Jeff Jackson will be in the middle of that stuff as well. Really important position that needs to be filled here, but they're probably not going to want to be too noisy about it.
Yeah, you got to get a list. You got to have a list. Like, they got to start figuring out what do they want. Like, they want a guy who's never done it, never been a GM before. Is that the move? Or is there someone who has lots of experience? Maybe not in a manager position. This is an interesting one because these next few years are going to be really important. It does help that Jeff Jackson is the president, and I just can't believe that he would have taken this job without knowing what Connor McDavid's thinking. I know that people don't want to say that.
I don't know, man. I don't think so.
I don't know. I maybe, and I, this is a discussion for way down later, but I do feel that I can't believe it.
It's not that much further down the road, but
they got to get through the play. If they win a Stanley Cup, let's say they win a Stanley Cup this year or next year, I think you're like, okay, well, whatever, all bets are off. Like, let's just, maybe they leave, maybe make some say, I don't know. But so that's why there's a lot of variables, but I just can't believe he wouldn't have thought or discussed it with Connor.
Mick Fosseidel throwing the name Brian Lawton out there. Interesting. All right, Steve, last one, buddy. Then we're going to land the plane.
Okay, let's go with a comment from Obelisk, who said, is this the best goaltending duo we've had since Fear and Ranford shared the net? Can you guys think of a better duo that we had?
I mean,
I know that's a big statement and a small sample size.
I'm trying to remember now some of those.
It's pretty unfair. It's a little bit unfair to go through it, but I think that, they're doing really well, right? They're doing really well.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, it's not. Like Skinner is very, very good, and he's had a very good year and all of those things, but no.
Bill Ranford is pretty good. Like Kurt Kujoa, the thing is when you're talking about the high end, like Cujo was so high end when he was here.
Yeah.
So it's a tough, and I think it's a little bit unfair question, actually. I get what they're saying, but I think the duo's working really well and it's very, very unexpected. Now I think it's interesting is what happens next year. And again, this is another conversation for later, but with Olivia Rodrigue, you've got Campbell, you've got Pickard who's, you know, deserves probably another contract. And then can the Oilers afford him? You know, I'm not saying he's going up to $5 million, but maybe 900 grand won't be enough next year. I don't know. So I it's lots of fun things to talk about after what we hope is a deep run in the playoffs.
You got to throw Dwayne Roloson out there too. Took him all the way to a Stanley Cup final, if you recall, right? Skinner has not done that yet either. So I think the point is Oiler fan feels good about the goaltending right now, Struds, but there you go. Yeah.
The backup for Roley, though, you know, that might have been
Markkanen and Conklin. They had three.
I know, but that,
Yeah. Could have been a little.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Not to be mean, but.
All right. That was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Rini Buchlan. And as we wrap up the pod tonight, it's time to bring you our play of the day, brought to you by Play Alberta. Now featuring hundreds of player props for the biggest leagues on the planet: football, hockey, basketball, baseball. You can bet on it all. Deposit today with the promo code GYB50 and get a $50 free bet. Visit playalberta.ca. What's the play of the day, Struds?
Well, we're talking about McDavid, Kucherov, and MacKinnon, the amazing seasons they're having, and they have. But I don't hear a lot of people talking about Panarin. You know, he's got 115 points. This guy's probably going to bang out 50 goals. He has 48, and he's got, 60, nearly 70 assists. And he's having an incredible year there. And these are well above his – he's never been in triple digits for points. Quite frankly, most people haven't, but he hasn't for sure. So pretty awesome. Artemi Panarin, I think he had 3 or 4 points tonight against Montreal. But still, they still count.
Artemi Panarin, that guy is a gamer. Can't wait to see him rocking and rolling at playoff time. It's going to be fantastic. The Rangers, Lafreniere is coming around, right? Remember him? It was like, when is he finally going to find it and get going? It's going to be fun, man. There's going to be some amazing matchups in round number one. It's always an absolute blast. That was our play of the day, brought to you by Play Alberta. That's going to wrap up the show, folks. Thanks so much for your patience, for those of you that were waiting on YouTube. As I said, we'll get that sorted out. Steve, good job manning the controls behind the scenes. Struds, get some rest tonight, buddy. Big week, man. Lots of pods, lots of action coming up this week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm really looking for that game Wednesday. Really looking for that bad boy.
Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights. That'll be our next podcast. We'll drop one post-game. Until then, thanks to Sherwood Buick GMC. Have a great week, and we'll chat in a few days. See ya.